Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 9, 27 to 31, and can be found on page 964 in your pew Bible. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. This is the word of the Lord.
Today is the first Sunday of the month, and it is the Sunday we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And my purpose this morning, as it always is on Communion Sunday, is to bring us to the table. That's what we are about this morning, to remember in accordance with what Jesus said to us. We are here to remember his sacrifice, his victory, his love. We are here to remember Jesus through this ritual of the Lord's Supper. I want to invite you, I want to prepare you for this thing that we're going to do together. And I'm going to do it by looking at the story that was just read, the account that was just read. And I'm going to do this in sort of steps. In a sense, the first step is a little further from the table. The second step gets us closer. And the third step gets us right there to the table. The first step has to do with what happened after Jesus heals the two blind men. He says to them sternly. And that's not really quite an adequate translation. It's stronger than that. It's almost like Jesus says to them harshly, vehemently, as if to say, "Listen now, hear what I'm saying, don't let this be known." Not just don't tell anyone, do not let this be known. What I just did for you, don't let it get out. Before I get to what I want to say about that, let me give you some sort of teaching about this. Why did Jesus say that? And why did he say it so sternly? He doesn't tell us. The usual understanding, and I think it's the right one, is that it wasn't time yet for Jesus, the word of Jesus, to spread and people to flock to him even more. So he wants to restrict sort of his public image. So he says to them, "Don't tell anyone this." I'm not exactly sure how this is supposed to not be known. These are two blind men that can suddenly see. I mean, people are going to notice. But Jesus nonetheless tells them. There's something else in that little instruction that I think is interesting. Not only did Jesus not want to have the word spread about him because it wasn't time yet for that, Jesus didn't want misinformation getting out about him. He didn't want people to identify him as only the healer and the Messiah as they understood the Messiah. He's a different kind of Messiah than anyone expects. He doesn't want this misinformation to get out, these rumors that people have the wrong impression. He doesn't want people to be thinking, he's all about healing. And that's all that he's about. I'm going to say this, and then I want you to put it in a cubbyhole over here because this is not really what the sermon's about. But nonetheless, we need to be careful about preaching the Jesus that Jesus did not preach. We need to be careful about saying to people, you know, if you trust in Jesus, all your credit card bills will be taken care of. We need to be careful about preaching Jesus and making promises that he did not make. We need to be true to what Jesus said about Jesus. Okay, now set that aside. This is what I want to say. Jesus told them not to let this be known. And what happened? The text says, They went out and they told everyone immediately. They disobeyed him. They did what he told them not to do. Not only did they not do what they could to keep this information from spreading, they initiated it. They told people. This is what I want you to hear. The healing stuck. Their disobedience did not revoke Jesus' healing. When you come to the table this morning to remember what Jesus has done, you will come with your disobedience and your failures and the truths and the truth that you have not been all that Jesus, that God would want you to be. Please understand that the invitation to the table is not revoked because of those things. You can still come. Jesus still invites you. If you trust in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, as these blind men did, you can still come. However you have messed up, you can still come. Jesus has not turned his back on you. He has not revoked his love. He still wants you to come. Second, there's something in what the two blind men say before the healing. Have mercy on us, they say. That word mercy can be translated other ways. Have compassion on us, or have grace upon us. When they ask Jesus, have mercy on us, they are admitting they have done nothing to deserve what they're asking for. They recognize that when they say, have mercy on us, have pity on us, have grace upon us. We haven't done anything to deserve this. But you can do this. Have mercy on us. When we come to the table this morning, that's what we're saying as well. We're saying, we haven't done anything to deserve what you have done for us. We haven't earned your love. But we're coming anyway because you invite us. I want to tell you a story about grace. I came across this a year ago or so, and I don't remember what book I read it in. It's a story about a man who's having all manner of financial problems. The stress of that bankruptcy that he's facing is upon him. He's just stressed out. He's worried about his family, this and that. He's driving down the highway one day, and he's sort of thinking about all his problems. And all of a sudden, he looks in the rearview mirror, and there's a highway patrolman behind him with his lights flashing. And he looks down in the speedometer. He's going way over the speed limit. He hadn't even noticed. He thinks about running for it, but no, he's not that stressed. So he pulls over. The highway patrolman comes to his window, and he just starts blurting out his story. The patrolman listens for a bit and says, listen, I want you to follow me. I'm going to go in front of you. I want you to follow me to the next off-ramp. Doesn't know what that's about, so he does that. The highway patrolman gets off the freeway, goes to a coffee shop, invites the man in. They sit down. The police officer offers him a cup of coffee, and then he listens. And the man just tells his story. At the end of the conversation, the officer pulls out his citation book and takes out the citation and tears it apart. I'm not giving you a ticket. And whoever wrote the story says, that's grace. That's God's grace. God tears up the ticket. That's only partly correct. The story of grace is this. The patrolman pulls him over. They have that discussion. He leads them to the restaurant. They come in. the patrolman listens to the story, and then he pulls out his citation book and says, "You were speeding. I am obligated by the law to give you a ticket, and I will. But I will pay for it." That's grace. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has paid, if you will, the ticket. When we come to the table this morning, that's what we are remembering. We are saying the same thing the beggars, the blind men said. Have mercy on us. But we can say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. That step gets us closer to the table. The third step gets us right there at the table. And it's in the question. Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they will respond, "Yes, Lord." When we come to the table, we are answering that question that Jesus asked these blind men. Do you think I can do this? Except a slightly different question. Do you believe I have done this for you? Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, speaking of himself, must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Do you think I can do this? Says Jesus to us. When we come to the table, we're saying, yes, I believe you've done that. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And when we come to the table, Jesus is asking us, do you believe this? Do you believe I have done this? And we're saying, yes, we believe that. Jesus said, "I must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And I must be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And Jesus is asking us, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I have done this? And we come to the table, we are saying, yes, we believe that. We are here and now declaring that we believe you, Jesus. We believe you have done what you said you would do. So we come to the table this morning. With all our mistakes, all our sins, all our disappointments. And Jesus says, come. You're still my child. We come as people who know we do not deserve. We have done nothing to earn. We are people who have been caught speeding. And Jesus says, I'll tear up the ticket. I've done what needs to be done. And we come to the table this morning and thereby declare, yeah, we believe you have done this for us. We believe in your sacrifice. We believe in your resurrection. We believe in your victory. We believe in your forgiveness that you have granted to us. We believe all of that. And that's why we're taking of the cup and the bread. We believe you. And we believe in what you have done for us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that Jesus asked that question of those blind men. Thank you that he made them confess their faith. And thank you now, Father, that you are asking us the same question. Do you believe I have done this for you? And we have the privilege, the honor, the blessing of saying to you in this ritual of communion, yes, we believe you've done this. We believe you can do this, and we believe you have done this. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Dave.